If you have your Bibles with you and want to put a finger in a couple different places, Galatians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 4, Job chapter 4, somebody said slow down. Galatians 6, Ephesians 4, and Job 4. Sometimes people graduate, and, you know, they get real big name shot, stuff like that, where they have a stool to sit on. Some of us are suggested that we need a stool just because they wore us out playing on the ice yesterday. So I brought a stool with me in case I needed to sit down today. It does kind of feel comfortable. Thank you, Brian. Probably shouldn't have been on the ice as long as I was, but it sure was fun. It was great. Say amen, Kyla. I think she's the one that got me in the face first. So I was sitting out there along by the ice, by the side there, resting my weary bones. And Brian and I were talking. I think maybe Vaughn was there. I'm not sure who all was standing around. But look out across the ice. Just so many young people, but so many kids, so many little ones. What a wonderful sight. So many of them just gather around there and have a great time together. It's nice that we can have fun. Just simple, plain fun. Of course, it's more fun rubbing somebody else's face than it is getting your own rubbed. How many of you have ever seen an eagle? Really seen an eagle? Quite a few of you. I love eagles. I'm glad that they're our nation's bird. I think the wild turkey was in competition with the eagle, and I'm glad they chose the eagle over the wild turkey. Not that the wild turkey isn't a nice sight, but boy, that eagle, when he's up there soaring, just a beautiful bird to watch. A beautiful bird to observe. Actually, they're a very incredible bird. You've probably heard all kinds of stories about eagles. So many times preachers will take an aspect of the eagle and incorporate it into the spiritual life, and so often we can do that. Because there's many comparisons that we either have with them or we ought to have with them. One of my favorite verses in Scripture, personally favorite verses, is the verse in Isaiah chapter 40. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Shall run and not be weary. I suppose that means either on land or on skates. I know that's a spiritual meaning, but I'm looking forward to the time when I can arrive at that place where I can mount up with wings as eagles. Majestic birds. How they have that extra flap in their eye to soar right up in, or to fly right up into the face of the sun to get away from their few predators that they might have or annoyances that they may have. And then they can dive at incredible speeds. And then they flap those wings out and just come soaring back up again. drove onto a piece of property that I hunt there in Pike County one day, was driving through the field. It was harvested. I wasn't doing any damage. And as I got to the back of it, this huge, incredible bird came flying out of the woods right towards me, flapping its wings, and it swooped right up in front of me, and I caught a glimpse of the shining white head and recognized that it was a bald eagle. I've seen them flying in various places, and I'm excited that Indiana has brought them into southern Indiana here and various places of nesting. I like to observe eagles. When we think about eagles, we probably, normally anyway, we would picture them in flight. Or at least they're sitting with majesty somewhere on the top of a rock or in some high perch of a tree. Maybe on the edge of their nest. But they always have an appearance. When we picture them, we almost always have a picture in our mind of their majesty. The majesticness of the bird itself. The grandness of the bird. But in reality, eagles go through what has been called their moping time. When they are down in the valleys, they lose, if it's possible, I don't know the inner feeling of an eagle, but they lose all self-respect. They don't take care of themselves. Their claws grow out nasty. Their beak becomes dull. Nasty. Their feathers become disheveled and matted together. They just don't care. They're moping. I don't know that they've really determined yet as to what causes the eagle to go through that time. But they say that invariably that an eagle, some point in its life, goes through that moping time. Goes through that down time. That difficult time. And it's during that difficult time that you'll find that there's at least one other eagle that will take it upon itself to help that moping eagle. It'll provide. It'll hunt extra to find food for not only itself, but also for this moping eagle. And it's said that in the valley, I believe it's in Alaska, where this huge group of eagles are at, that in that valley, there may be several eagles at one time that are down there, and another eagle somewhere along the line is feeding one of those moping eagles, provides enough meat for it. And with the disintegration of the sharpness of the claws and the beak, it may not be able to tear the meat apart. And so that other eagle will do whatever it takes to provide the nourishment for that moping eagle. There are times then when that moping eagle begins to remember better days or something, and it begins to show an alertness that it hasn't shown for quite some time. And so the support eagle will notice that alertness that is taking place and begin to scream at it. Screams of encouragement. Words of encouragement. Trying to get it to understand that, yes, you can climb back to that rock again. And I'm just touching small bits. I'm sure if you ever heard anything about the extent of the life of the eagle, I'm just scratching the surface this morning. But it's wanting to get back to that point where it can sharpen its claws and sharpen its beak and preen its feathers and clean up and be the majestic bird that God intended it to be. And so this support eagle will do all that it can, and it'll cheer it on, encouraging it, trying to get it to the point that it'll fly back up to that rock. Sometimes we look at people the same way. We look at people and say, man, they don't have a problem in this world. They don't have anything that bothers them. They don't have anything that hurts them. It's easy for us to look at somebody around us and be completely unable to see the pain that they may be experiencing inside. You know, I see some smiling faces. I see some somber faces. I really can't necessarily look at any one of you today and say, well, you know, there's somebody that's really, really hurting down inside today. But that doesn't mean that there's not somebody hurting down inside today. We may look at someone and say, man, they're always so strong. They're tough. Sometimes we would look at someone just by being with them outside of the four walls of the church and they're always vibrant, they're always excited, they're always smiling. And when they talk with a strong voice. There's never a quiver of emotion in their lives. It just seems like everything about them always flows so smooth. I'm getting older. Some of you are aware of that, and I'm more aware of it than anybody else. The older I get, the more I feel on different levels, different things. And I know that many of you have experienced this in years gone by. Some of you are now experiencing it. Some of you will experience it. But as our children go older, the feeling of what the future holds weighs heavier. I guess you could put it that way. You wonder where they're going to go, what direction they're going to take. You've done the best that you can. You feel like you've done the best that you can. But having said that, I know an individual that had four children. He and his wife had four children. And when you look at that couple, you would think of them as always having things go their way. Nothing ever turned up bad in their lives. But then you look at the children. The oldest one is far from where she was brought up. A long ways from the upbringing that her parents raised her in. And when you know the parents very well at all, you know that that's a heartache. Then there's two sons. And both of those sons have broken their father's heart in the worst way imaginable. Both of them. But it has been said of that couple that when they come to church, there's never a problem. There's never an emotional experience that would share with anybody else that the problems of their lives were causing them pain on the inside. Somebody else in the church was informed of the situation with the kids one time and said, "Oh, I had no idea. They never showed anything amiss." You know, sometimes we as holiness people, well, we as people, really, we're pretty good at covering our feelings up, for the most part. Oh, I know some people like to talk about all their problems. But for the most part, we don't want to just all the time be crybabying about all the problems that we have. We're good at covering it up. And so when we cover it up, somebody else may not see the inner feeling that we have. We can't see their pain. We can't feel their pain. And so in a little bit of our lives, we might tend to kick somebody. Oh no, we don't kick them here or there with our literal foot. We don't use that foot to inflict any pain, as it were. But what we might do, we might use our tongue. We might say something not really intending to bring pain, and not even realizing that what we said brought pain. See, that's one way that we're not like the eagle, for the most part. We don't go down into the valley and let all the other eagles know that we are now in the moping phase. But so many times, if we have anything sharp to say, it's going to hurt that person, even though we can't see it, even though we can't feel it, even though we may be convinced that they are tough and that it will not inflict any pain in their lives. I'll be the first to confess that I've had to apologize a lot of times for my tongue's actions or my tongue's words. You know what I mean. Never intending. Sometimes I have been accused actually of saying things that I can't believe that I actually said. I've wondered if I really did say them. But somebody else was hurt by whatever it was that I said, and oh my. Maybe not with our tongue, maybe not with our foot, but maybe it's with some other non-physical action. I'm reminded of a verse of Scripture that tells us that we need to be very careful about how we may cause a young person or a child to stumble. I don't believe that Scripture is actually referring or limited to in its reference to children, literally in age, but I believe that it's also referencing in our lives spiritual young people. And again, I've been one to take for granted that because of the spiritual growth of a young babe in Christ, thinking that they were stronger than what they were because of the appearance of their growth in their spiritual life, and so the statement has been made, or the words have been expressed, or an action had been performed, and it was used on the other end to make that new Christian stumble, even though it appeared that they were stronger than that. You know, I thought they were stronger than that. I thought they were tougher than that. So many times we don't realize that our words or our actions will and can cause inward pain to the other person. They're tough. I don't know if I told you to turn to Job chapter 4. I don't think I did. But Job was a man that seemed to have a knack for helping people. At least that's what Eliphaz said. Eliphaz says in Job 4 verse 3 and 4, "Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees." Sounds like a good friend. Sounds like a kind of friend that we'd all like to have. Job must have had a knack for it. Eliphaz seemed to understand that Job had the ability to see other people in need and to lift them up. We need to be those kinds of people. We need to be support eagles. Galatians chapter 6. If you have your finger stuck in that portion there. Galatians chapter 6 verse 1, Paul says this, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are stronger, ye which are more stable, ye which are more spiritual, or ye which are spiritual. But I believe that that word encompasses these others. And it's not a lording it over the individual. It's just, you're on top of things right now. Ye that are on top of things right now, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. How many times, I hope that it stops with just you wanting to. I hope you haven't done it. But how many times have you wanted to go to somebody and say, I told you so. And then you extend a hand and say, hey, come on back up here. Boy, I have. I'll confess it. I told you so. I tried to warn you. No, but restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. What's that old Indian proverb? Something about walking in their moccasins? Very seldom do we understand the details of the other individual's lives. Very seldom do we understand the detail of somebody else's situation. But it's easy for us to take what we do know, or at least what we think we know, and press and pass judgment in that situation and come up short in reality because we didn't know another facet to what was going on. Consider these things for your own self because you don't know where you might need that person to encourage you. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Fulfill the law of Christ. That ought to jump off the page at us. The law of Christ? Bear ye one another's burdens? The law of Christ is what? Not just bless them that bless you, but bless them that curse you. To help those who have been beaten and thrown by the wayside. That's the law of Christ. You know, the Good Samaritan. Verse number 3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Flip over to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Go over to verse 31 of the same chapter. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Some pretty good preaching there from the apostle. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. That's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Let brotherly love continue.
Verse number 3 of that same chapter says, "Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body." Okay, so I lost you. The sum of the whole is this: that we would be the eagle to support the eagles around us. We would be supporting eagles, even to those that we don't see them in the valley of the moping eagles. If there's someone, just picture in your mind who may be here this morning. If there's someone that attends this church or that lives in this community or in a spiritual sense is our brother and our sister, and you cannot shake hands with them and put your arm about them, at least in a figurative way, and say, "I love you," then we're missing the mark. Well, we may have disagreements. We may have personality clashes. Just like Paul and Barnabas, they had to go their separate ways. We may not be able to eat Sunday dinner every single Sunday with somebody, but we love them. We support them. And we do everything that we can to encourage that one to get to heaven. Because if we're going to make it to heaven, we're going to be all friends there. We might as well be all friends here. You say, "Brother Ziegler, are you saying that we're not friends?" No, I'm not. But once again, I know the Lord was laying this on my heart early in the week. We need a spirit of unity consistently flowing among us. I know, I said it once. Let me say it again. Sometimes we say things without the intentions or do things without the intentions of hurting anybody. But it may cause pain, even though we can't see it. Let's be a support to those around us. Stand with me, please.